So Psalm 131 on page 625.
A song of ascents of David. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quietened myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore.
Thanks, Emily. Well, we're going to be looking at this this psalm in three different parts for the three different verses. So we're going to look at verse 1 now, and Bart's going to come and speak to us.
Okay, so verse 1. Please, would you keep that passage open in front of you? You need Psalm 131 in front of you, page 625, and we're going to think about the first verse. And we've titled this sermon, this service, How to Have a Still and Quiet Soul. Having a soul that is still and quiet. And maybe you think, yeah, right, like I could have a still and quiet soul. Maybe particularly if you're a mum, you think, how on earth can you have a still and quiet soul? After all, you might think, well, I'm being torn in lots of different directions. I've got loads of different things I've got to do. And even if your children maybe aren't home anymore, maybe they've grown up, moved away, you still think, actually, I still don't have a quiet and still soul because of, well, because I'm still worried about them. I'm still concerned about them. And actually, this psalm, we need to remember, of course, this psalm isn't just about mums. It's about dads. It's about people who don't have children. And that we all need to learn how to have a quiet and still soul. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to ask the question, first off, what are mums worried about? What are mums worried about? Now, hang on a minute. I'm more looking... Now, children, you can answer this, but mums, I'd love you to answer this as well. Now, we're going to put the answers up on the screen here. We're going to give it a go doing it that way. Therefore, I need you to give me one-word answers, all right? Because if you give a whole sentence, we're not going to fit it on. Melissa's not going to be able to fit that on. So, okay, give me some one-word answers. What are mums worried about?
Everything.
Great. Well, that covers it all. Sam, what have you got?
Danger.
Danger. Okay. Dangers. What else?
Housework.
The garden. Garden. Okay, Julie. We'll let others. I mean, you may have a great long list you brought with you today. Garden was another one. Thank you. What else have we got? Yeah, go for it, Stanley. Say again. Their children. Well, yeah, absolutely, their children. What have you got? Yeah. The baby being upside down. Oh, daddy putting the baby upside down. Well, worried about dad then, basically. Dad with the kids. Okay. What else have we got? Yeah, Ken. Their hair. Their hair. Thank you. Teresa, this is going a different direction from what I thought. Health. Thank you, health. What else have we got? Yeah, Jane.
Putting enough food on the table to feed the teenage boys.
Okay, I'm going to summarise that as food. Thank you, yeah. Go for it. Do we have another one over here? No, okay. Yeah, go. Yeah, Stanley, you got another? Say again. Clothes, yes. Not just for themselves, but for their children. Maybe that's making sure, maybe dads do this as well, making sure it's all clean as well for their children. Yeah, Cara?
Jobs.
Loads of jobs. What else have we got? Yep. Safety, thank you. There was a hand, I'm sure there was. I'm not just... What do you got, Jen?
Future.
The future. Robin?
Their mother's-in-law.
Their mother's-in-law, yeah. Okay, the mother-in-law. Yeah, go for it, Sam.
Their husbands,
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Okay, how are we doing? Have we got any more? Exams. Thank you. Someone said exams. Anything else? Okay, that's, I mean, we've got everything in the middle, so. We've got everything. Thank you there, Tobes. Yeah. We do. We've got everything there. Well, that's a lot, isn't it, that we've got there? That actually mums are worried about a whole load of things. And of course, you, if you're not a mum, you're still worried about a whole load of things. And the question is, how can we have a quiet and still soul? And this is where we need to turn to Psalm 131. So let's turn there. And let's see how we can have a quiet and still soul. We're going to think about three things from this passage, and the first one is in verse 1. Let me reread that verse for you. It says this, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." Okay, what's our first thing? It's going to be this. Oh, well now, with that list, sorry, I was going to say. With that list of all those things you're worried about, you might think, okay, it's all very well this psalmist saying he's stilled and quietened his soul, but he wasn't a mum, and maybe he doesn't have all these worries you've got. Have you noticed who wrote the psalm, though? Who wrote the psalm? Do you remember who wrote it? Who was it? Did you see? Can you see in the Bibles? Yeah? Say it again. David! And David was king. He was king of a whole nation. Mums have to, you know, rule over a household, a family. David was king of a whole nation. Okay? And yet he's saying he stilled and quietened his soul. How did he do it? Well, we see it in the first verse, our first point, and it is this. You're not God. This is our big thing for the first point. And this is the first point that we need to learn to have a still and quiet soul. You're not God. So in verse 1 there, at the end of the verse, he says, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. In other words, there are some things where you go, actually, if you're worried about these things, if you're concerned about these things, then you shouldn't be, because they are things which are too big for you. They're too big. You'd have to be God to deal with them. And David's saying, I don't concern myself with those matters. So, if you think back to, let's see if we can go back, yeah, go back to here, to our thing. Okay, of these things, just have a look at them. Which are things where you go, you know what, in order to deal with them, really to master them, to have them completely under control, you'd have to be God. And the answer is, well, probably most of them, actually. You can't yourself deal with your health or your children's health. You can't deal with the future. It's not in your hands. You can't deal with the mother-in-law. She's not in your hands. You can't deal with your job. Maybe if you've got a job, you don't know the future of that. And maybe your hair's beyond your control as well. But there's a whole load of things there where you've got to say, actually, mums, you're not God. And you need to recognize that. Dads, you're not God either. Children, you're not God. So this is deep and profound. Children, I want you to join in with this bit, okay? Children, locate where a parent is. Mum, preferably, okay? And I want you to be able to point at them. No, stay where you are. Okay, I want you to point at them and say and shout, you're not God. Now, mums, this is not getting at you. This is part of your progress in Christian life. Okay, so you ready? Children, point at mums and shout, you're not God. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
You're not God.
Excellent. And now mums and all grown-ups, point at a child. See if you can see a child. Point at them and shout, you're not God. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
You're not God.
Okay, essential, deep theological point. I hope you've recognized this, because actually mums and dads and children, we like to pretend we are God, and we concern ourselves with things where you go, actually, that's too big. So first point is, you're not God. And our action for this is going to be, you're not God. Okay, join with it together. Choose someone to point your finger at. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You're not God. Okay, we're going to come back to this in a few moments for point number 2. Please have a seat. Okay, and would you take up your Bibles again? And we need to get to Psalm 131, page 625, if you've closed your Bibles. And we've thought about our first point, very important. Our first point is, you're not God. And then David in the Psalm 131 verse 2, he uses a picture. He says, my soul, I've stilled and quietened my soul. Now that's interesting for a start, isn't it? That David is saying he has done this to himself. I have stilled and quietened my soul. That means we can do it too. It is something you can do. And he uses a picture to say what his soul is like. And do you see, verse 2, what does he say his soul is like? If you can read it, have a little look. Mums and dads, help your little ones maybe just to see what it says. What does it say? What does he say his soul is like? What have we got? Hands up if you got it. Okay, either you read very slowly or you're being bashful. Okay, go on then. Thank you. Like a weaned child with its mother. So what a weaned child with its mother? What does that mean? Well, a weaned child, that's a child which is, well, it's no longer feeding from its mum. Because a child that's still feeding from its mum, when its mum is in the room, or when it knows that its mum is around, it gets upset, it kind of gets agitated because it just wants to feed. So David is saying, actually, my soul is like a weaned child, a child that doesn't feed from its mum anymore, because a weaned child, a little child who is with its mum, is happy. All right, so let's demonstrate this. Okay, so I need someone... Sorry, little one. Okay, we've got a little one here. I need someone to be a mum. Pips, do you want to be a mum? Yeah, come out. You don't need to say anything. All you need to do is be able to walk. And you can, and that's good, because you need to be able to walk over there. So, okay, so if you stay there. Now, this is your child. Cute little one you've got there. Now, okay, I need you guys to make the noise of a little child. So can you make the noise of a happy little child? Let's go for that now. Can you do happy, gurglingy sort of happy noises? Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Now, that's going to change in a minute. Okay, now, so you're doing the noises, and you're the mum. So your little one is here, okay, and it's very happy. Okay, but now you start to walk away. Now, you're going to need to go out that door then. Just be the other side of that door. Don't go too far away. Don't go down the street or anything, all right? So you start walking away. And how's the child now? No, we're all right now. We're okay because you can see mum. All right, so we're still good. Okay, we're happy. Yeah, I can still see mum. Mum, just go outside the other side of the door, all right? Okay, now what? Okay, you better come back, you better come back, you better come back. Okay, and? Yeah. Oh, go away again, go on, let's do it, let's be mean. It's only a stuffed toy. Sorry. Yeah, that's it, okay, come back. Lovely, okay, now you go sit back down. Thank you, Pips, well done. You see, the thing is, for a little one, if mum's there in the room, almost anything could be happening, and little one is happy. But as soon as mum leaves the room, little one goes, ah, I want mum back. You see, David is saying, my soul is like a little child with its mum there. Now, he's not saying that. Sorry, little one. He's not saying, don't do that with a little one. Don't do that with a little one. No, it's not. It's a toy. It's fine. Now, David is saying, his soul is like a little child with its mum. Not because he's with his mum, but because he's with God. And you get that in verse 3. He says, put your trust, put your hope in the Lord. And so it's clearly what he's saying is, look, I'm happy because I know God is God. Sorry, I need to move on. There you go. You saw how that was going to fit. He says, because God is God. And because God is God, I'm happy. I'm content. I can cope with whatever goes on. And David says that's how his soul is quiet. And we need to know that God is God. A bit later on, in the book of Revelation, in the Bible, right towards the end of the Bible, John, the Apostle John, has a vision of heaven. He goes into heaven. And you know what's at the center of heaven? Right at the center of heaven is a throne. Far grander than this. But there's a throne in heaven. And there is someone seated on the throne. God. And we need to know there is God on the throne. Particularly after a week like the week we've had. With the attacks in London. We need to remember there is a God on the throne. God is on the throne. And as you go through the book of Revelation, then into chapter 5, you see John looks and he sees that on the throne there is a lamb who looks like he has been slain. Now, who's that? Who is the lamb who looks like he's been slain? Don't worry, hands down, I'll tell you. It's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is the one who was killed. He's described as the Lamb of God. Now, that's important for us to know, isn't it? Because the one who is on the throne of the universe, who rules over the whole universe, is not a God who is just way off and distant, and you've just got to go, oh, this God, he's way off and distant, he's in control, and I'll just be like, oh, well, everything will be all right, because God is God, and, you know, he'll deal with things. It's not like that. It is Jesus who is on the throne of the universe. Jesus, who came and walked among us, who knows what it's like to suffer and be tempted, who knows what it's like to cry. Jesus, who knows what this life is like and who died for us, who poured out his love for you and me, he is the one who is on the throne of the universe. And if, as we look, as it were, to heaven and we see, yeah, Jesus is on the throne, therefore we can say, I'm not God, you're not God, but God is God. And therefore we're okay. Whatever comes, whatever the future brings, whatever our health is like, whatever happens to our children, maybe you're going through difficult times right now and you need to remind yourself, Jesus is God. Okay, and we've got two lots of actions now. We need to say, you're not God, God is God. Okay, so can we join in with these two actions? So, okay, you ready? One, two, three. You're not God. God is God. Let's do it again. You're not God. God is God. And we're going to come back to think about the third point in a few moments. But before we do that, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a couple of songs. And they're both about the Word of God. Because how is it that we focus on God as being God? We come to his Word. And so we're going to stand and sing our next two songs. Please stand. And again, would you pick up your Bibles? We've got one more verse to look at. Okay, let's remember with actions where we've got to so far. The words are on the screen. Ready? One, two, three. You're not God. God is God. Let's do it with a bit more conviction. Okay, ready? One, two, three. You're not God. God is God. Excellent. Thank you. And our last verse. In the last verse, King David now commands people. He issues a command there, doesn't he? And the command is, verse 3, it is to put your hope in God. Let me read that verse for us. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. So David finishes with a command. He says, you need to put your hope in the Lord. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? If you're not God, but God is God, then you've got to put your trust in him. Hope in him. It's a bit like, okay, I wonder how many of you have been on a plane before? Hands up if you've been on a plane. Maybe there are some who haven't, but lots have. Hands up if you love flying. Okay, and the rest of you, I take it, hate flying. Okay, hands down. Hands up if you've been in a plane when there's been turbulence. And you're even doing the noise you make at that point. Okay, hands down. It's not very nice. Turbulence, that's where the plane kind of goes like that. And it feels like it's going like that, but actually it's probably not. But it feels really horrible, doesn't it? It's not very nice. Now, if when that's happening, what do you do? Who do you put your hope in? You don't put your hope in yourself. You don't storm to the front of the plane and go, I'll take over here. Don't do that, by the way. You tend to get arrested or that kind of thing. Don't do that. You don't do that. You put your hope in the pilot. You say the pilot's the right person to fly the plane because he or she has had a lot of training. They've done a lot of simulator things where they've crashed and then done it successfully. And they've, you know, they can be okay. They'll do it all right. They're the one to trust, not you. A lot of parents looking worried now. Honestly, they've had lots of practice. They're the ones to trust, aren't they? So you put your hope in the pilot because they're the ones who should be doing it. It's all right, flying's okay. But when it comes to the universe, who is the right person to be flying the universe? It is Jesus. He's the right person to do it because he can do anything he wants. Nothing can stop him. He is the most loving person there has ever been because he's shown that to us by dying for us on the cross. There is no one better to fly the universe. And therefore, when it comes to your day-to-day, the right thing to do is to put your hope in Jesus. To do it for the journey and to do it for the destination. Do you see that in the verse? It says, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. In other words, the journey and the destination. The journey is day by day, your every day. The things you worry about, the things we put on the screen at the beginning. All those things, you go, actually, you can trust Jesus with them. And that means actually spending time. You can't do it necessarily right here, but you've got to spend time on your own. Make some time during the week to say, actually, I need to talk to Jesus about these things. And boys and girls, maybe you do this before bed. That's a great time to do it where you're quietening down and you can actually say, actually, I need to talk to Jesus about these worries. I've got these things in my life. You say, actually, talk to Jesus every day about those things. Grown-ups, you and I, we need to do it too. It's for the journey, it's for the destination as well, because he's saying, put your hope in the Lord forevermore, because we know Jesus has our eternities in his hands, doesn't he? He's promised us, if we put our trust in him, he will get us to be with him forever. He has our eternity in his hands. He's won it for us at the cross, and therefore we need to keep trusting him for the destination as well as the journey. Put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. Now, if you're not a Christian today, I hope you see that this makes logical sense. That if you're not God, but God is God, if Jesus is God, then of course you need to put your trust in him. But that is a humbling thing to do, isn't it? Because actually, what we said at the beginning about saying you're not God, actually, we quite like to think of ourselves as being God. We may not think, I am God, but we kind of treat our lives as if we are God. And so it's a humbling thing to say, actually, I'm not God. And actually, it's wrong that I've been treating myself as God, and I need to put myself under Jesus. I need to bow before him. But that's what it means to become a Christian, is to recognize Jesus is Lord, and to bow before him and recognize he is king and you are not. And therefore, will you humbly do this? It's the wise thing to do. And if you're a Christian, you need to keep putting your hope in the Lord, don't you? We need to keep doing it because our hearts keep getting troubled. We keep getting stressed. We keep getting anxious. And we need to unplug our hearts from those things that stress us and plug into Jesus and say, actually, Jesus, you're the king. And so will you bring your worries to Jesus? Okay, we've got three sets of actions. I haven't told you the last lot. Put your hope in him. You're going to go, put your hope in him. It's kind of a grabbing hold. We're going to trust in Jesus, okay? So let's just do the last one. Ready? Put your hope in him. Okay, let's do all three sets of actions. I'm not going to put all the words up on the screen. See if you can remember them, okay? You ready? One, two, three. You're not God. God is God. Put your hope in him. Nice. Let's do it once more. You're not God. God is God. Put your hope in him. Let me just pray for us. Heavenly Father, please would you help us, each one of us, to put our hope in you, that our souls would be like that weaned child, that we would just be happy because we know that you are God, that Jesus is God. Father, please would you help us to rejoice in that, to delight in that. Father, if there are those here who do not yet follow Jesus, who don't live with him day by day as their Lord and Saviour. Father, please would you bring them to yourself to put their hope in you. Amen.